Welcome to our podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. For more information about NCCF, log on to newcovenantchristianfellowship.com. Thank you and God bless. I know we've been doing some listening prayer. I don't know what that was like for you. I know I really appreciated it. It's something that's different for us. It's something that we want to embrace as a lifestyle and as part of our culture as a fellowship. It's something that we want to embrace as leaders over this fellowship, that we want to be listening to God. We want to be hearing from the Lord as we are being directed and moving forward. That being said, I have some passages of Scripture. I have four passages of Scripture that I would like to just let wash over you. So staying in that place or re-engaging that place of listening, would you please listen to these four passages of Scripture? Starting in Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul will be joyful in God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation, and he has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns himself with ornaments, and as the bride adorns herself with jewels. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And Romans 8:14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into his family, calling him Father, dear Papa. For his Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we are God's children. Since we are his children, we will share his treasures. For everything God gave to his Son, Christ, is ours also. But if we share in his glory, we must also share in his suffering. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will give us later. Father, we want to thank you for your words that speak to our hearts, that encourage us, that echo with a resounding yes in our spirit, and we agree with you. We say that your word is true, and we choose, God, to ingest your word right now. We know that we do not live on bread alone, but from every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. And so, Father, speak to us. Nurture our souls. Strengthen our feeble bodies. Encourage our spirits, God. We thank you for what you're doing here this morning. Amen. The suffering with Christ, it's interesting because Jesus doesn't suffer over the same things we suffer over. Jesus suffers over the hearts of people. We suffer over other things, you know, and it sometimes has to do with people, but a lot of times it has to do with, you know, the worries that we're facing, or, you know, the anxieties that tend to roll up, or the accusations that come against us, and those sorts of things we focus on. And I just want to say this about this morning. It was a really intense morning. I woke up actually with some stuff really rolling in my heart that I would say was an accompaniment to what God wants me to share this morning. It's Father's Day. I'm a dad. I got four kids. I'm super stoked about being a dad. I love what it means to be a father. I love my children. And yet I woke up sad this morning. And it wasn't because I was thinking about my dad, although I was. And it wasn't because my father's no longer with me. I mean, he passed away when I was in my late 30s. It wasn't just because of that. There was some of that rolling around. But as Tiffany got real pointed with me and she was saying, just spill it. Just tell me what you're feeling. I really couldn't put words to it until I was trying, you know, and then it started to roll out a little bit. And what I was most sad about to me was understanding that the brokenness that we share in the lineage of Adam on this earth, you know, the effects of sin and evil, it has left us unfathered in so many ways. Not just because, you know, of the things that I shared about my dad and all of that. I mean, but the reality is that while he was alive on this earth, he struggled to know how to father. So I place no blame on him. I actually do not dishonor my dad. I love my dad. And I recognize that the lack of fathering that he experienced growing up was what he had to go with. So there tends to be this perpetuating cycle that rolls through humanity that's like a siphon. And I was feeling that this morning. And I was hoping that my mood wasn't, you know, like self-pity or anything like that. I certainly had no intention of raining on anybody's Father's Day parade today, you know? So I was just like, what is this? What is rolling around in my spirit? And what it did was it expanded kind of into the space of intercession, really, for the ways that things are. I mean, we could prop up. We could go have our meals and picnics and whatever, but at the deepest place of our souls, many of us are lonely because we have not been fathered. And many of us feel guilty in our role as a father because we are simply mirroring what was brought to us and what we have to model. So I want to lift our eyes from that cycle. I want to break that perpetuating cycle in our thoughts, and I want us to come into agreement that we love because God first loved us. We have deep and meaningful relationships because God first has deep and meaningful relationships with us. We father well because He fathers us well. And unless we're able to recognize how God the Father, whether we like that term or not, some of us, we love Jesus. Some of us are into the Holy Spirit. Some of us really struggle with the Father. And so I'm not asking you to, you know, torture your soul here. I'm asking you to hear the invitation. Discover the love of the Father in just a little bit deeper way, a little warmer embrace, a little clearer word to you about the Father's love. So I have it in my heart to encourage us to receive the Father's embrace. Because honestly, I feel that it is the only remedy to this perpetuating cycle. And so, knowing all of these things to be true, we understand that this is an invitation and not a rebuke. One of the things I want to do here is I want to paint a picture of about three different ways that God has fathered my heart, and how He has enabled me and empowered me through His love to then convert that into my expression of fatherhood towards my own children. And so that's going to be the encouragement to us. It's certainly not a rebuke. It's an invitation. And so one of the things that God wants to invite us into, and Val brought this so clearly this morning in this listening prayer time, is to discover that God is a Father who sees you. God is a Father who sees you. We all have it in our hearts to be seen. I mean, you watch any kid who tries something new or scary, listen to their words. Dad, watch this. I mean, it's in our instincts to be seen. We know people, we know stories, we know situations where infant children are not seen, they're not cared for, they're not nurtured in those initial even days and weeks of their life, and it imprints something on them for the rest of their life that only God can restore and redeem and heal. Our hearts respond to being seen. The Father sees you. He doesn't turn away in anger or embarrassment. 2 Chronicles 16:9 would tell us that the eyes of the Lord search the earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are committed to Him. Psalm 25:7 would tell us, actually it would be this plea of the psalmist to God, the Father, and he would say, "Forgive me my rebellion. Forgive me my sins, the sins of my youth. Look instead through the eyes of your unfailing love. You are merciful, God." When God sees us, He looks at us through mercy. He looks at us through His merciful love. And so when we experience Papa's Murphy, did I say Papa's Murphy? I was just wanting to make sure you were listening. There's that lingering smell of Papa Murphy's pizza in the air, I'm thinking. That's what it was. No. Hey, when Papa's mercy impacts your heart of rebellion, and when Papa Murphy, no, really, seriously, I can't get over this pizza thing now. I'm stuck. Oh, help me. Get out. Hey, listen, it opens your eyes to some things that are just, look, the encouragement here is that, honestly, when you and I are fathering our children, whether they're biological children or people that God has placed in your heart where you want to express the Father heart of God to them, we want to see our children through the eyes of God's unfailing love, don't we? I mean, we want to see our children through the eyes of mercy. And so someone recently called me up and they were like, "Hey, can we meet for breakfast?" I was like, "Yeah, sure. What you got going on this week?" He was, "How about tomorrow?" You know, this was like urgent. And so I got with him for that breakfast that morning. And he was really kind of like, "Look, I've just really wanted to ask you some questions about raising kids. I've got a daughter and I'm at ends with myself. I don't even know where to go with this." And so just some advice, which, you know, it's great. Love talking to him about that. And so I gave him 3 points that I wanted to pass on to you. And so the first point is this. He was talking about, what can I do to keep the lines of communication open and fresh and have it be so that I'm actually in relationship with my daughter and it's not just me being kind of like the police. Yes. And so, all right, well, okay, Marie. We don't want you to go anywhere. And so here we have Marie, who is echoing the very cry of what I was feeling earlier this morning. God's word is illuminating this. The light of Christ is shining light into this. This is a very dark thing, and this is the way that the enemy is taking people out all around us. And he is doing this one, you know, not just one child at a time, but as adult children, even in our 50s and 60s and 70s, we still wrestle with this loneliness and the sense of rejection and the sense of diminishment that comes to us. And the Father is breaking that cycle right now. And if we were less guarded, we'd all share that echo in different ways. Awesome. But you have the guts to do this. And it takes courage to just say, I don't know what it means to be fathered. I don't know what it means to allow God to love me in a way that's merciful and has love attached to it. It's not what I've experienced in my natural experience of fathering. So God has his finger on this, not to wound us, but to heal us. This can seem, for us as parents, overwhelming. You talk about kind of this the catch-22. Here we are, we're trying to experience the love of the Father in ways that can enable us to parent our children. And I know of no other thing that can reinforce our sense of lack and our sense of diminishment than like our failures as parents. So it snowballs onto itself. And so let me take some of the heavy pressure off of this by giving you the three bits of advice that I gave my friend. The first one was this: play with your kids. Turn your play into adventures. Play with your kids. Have fun with your kids. I've discovered this over the years, that if I can laugh with my kids, that's like an open door. And then when the drama hits, there's a door to walk through. It may not have to make sense. There may not have to be a logical equation here, play plus drama equals deep, meaningful conversation that bring real growth and understanding. No. But it works, at least in my experience. Have fun with your kids. Plan adventures. Goof around. It's meaningful. The second bit of advice that I gave this gentleman was to bless your children. Bless your kids. Actually put your hand on them and speak words out of your mouth and what you see about that child. What you see about that kid. That's what we're asking for. We're saying, God, we want you to see us. We want you to speak to us. We did that today. God, what do you see? We want to see our kids through the loving kindness of the Father. We want to be able to communicate that to our kids specifically. Put your hands on your kids. Swallow that lump in your throat. Speak the words. Stumble around if you need to. They're going to get it. It's from the heart. Say, this is who I bless this in you because I see this in you. I see you as a loving, caring person. I see you excelling in this, that, and the other thing. Begin to speak to them about what you see through the eyes of the loving Father. Do that for each other. This is how we can express the heart of the Father to one another. It's not just to our kids. I want to say this. Look. Undoubtedly, the Jewish nation, they've come up with more inventions. They're some of the most blessed people on the earth, and that gets manifested in all sorts of ways. They've also been some of the most persecuted and hated people on the earth, but partly because of jealousy. Because these are a blessed people. I want to just tell you why I believe that they are a blessed people. Because every Friday evening during Shabbat, the father of the house places his hand on the child and blesses that child for their whole life. You want to see your children excel and become everything that they were created to be? You begin to bless your children. Put your hands on your children and bless them. Speak the words, even at their infancy. So play with your kids, bless your kids. Those are some really, I said I had three. That's the only two I'm going to give you. That's all I got, really. I don't know why I said three. I still was thinking about Papa Murphy's. All right, so. So the other thing that I wanted to do is I wanted this invitation of God the Father, not only to for us to discover that he really does see us. And he doesn't see us in light of our weakness and our brokenness and our failures and our immaturity. He sees us through the eyes of loving kindness and mercy. And he speaks to us about who we really are. This is why this morning's exercise, it's not just an exercise. It is a lifestyle of listening and letting the Father speak to us. The second thing then was letting God lead us and discovering that Papa actually leads us, moves us forward. This was referred to already, Psalm 23. We often read this with Jesus Christ in mind, which is great because he is the good shepherd, of course, right? And we understand that this very shepherding, though, is linked to the Father heart of God. Since at Jesus' birth, it was prophesied in Isaiah 9 that these shall be his royal titles, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. And so when we understand the Psalm 23 passage as the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, he leads me. In fact, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Papa, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in your house forever. It's very important to note here that the Father leads us towards things, towards health and wholeness, and all of these things related to purpose. He's not only leading us away from things, away from sin, away from harm, away from darkness. It's actually him leading us towards the things that are in his heart for us. And some of us have grown up in an environment of being parented with the model that we're always being encouraged to go away from stuff. And there's a lot of fear in that. And some of us have really been impacted by the culture of fear in our families. And so the Father wanted me to say that to you this morning, that God is leading us. And then just like the Father leading us, we want to lead our children towards things. Tiffany, I love you, and I'm sorry you have to go. And not just away from things. And what I want to say about that is that we have to anticipate where we think they're heading. This is leadership, really. Leadership 101 with kids. Ready for this? Anticipate where you think they might be heading and offer the alternative that draws them into where you see your family going. I was blessed at the beginning of our marriage, Tiffany and I, to work for about 4 years before we got pregnant and had our first kid, and we were working with other people's kids. We were working with kids who had been locked up. We were working with adjudicated youth. And so we got to practice on everybody else's kids for about 4 years. It was awesome. And one of the things that I remember, because you talk about kids who want to lead you. I mean, they were great at it. And it's like any kid, you know, it's just one of those deals. So one thing I learned early on is you'll know if you're actually leading or not by this very simple test. Are you reacting to the kid Or is the kid reacting to you? Are you responding to the kid, or is the kid responding to you? It's one of those deals where if historically, if it's more of a pattern where the scale is tipped over on this side, you're constantly reacting. You're constantly responding. You're constantly kind of in this crisis mode of trying to address the next thing. Well, guess what? It doesn't always have to be that way. You can actually anticipate, and it comes with seeing your kid, right? You know their kid. You know the kid. I really got a hold of this concept when I played racquetball with George Wood. Because if I chase the ball, well, he beats me anytime, anywhere. It's like he's really good at it. But if I were to try to anticipate where the ball's going to be and try to get there before the ball, and then guess what? The ball is going to respond to me. And so it's one of those things with kids, and I can just give you a really good example of that. We used to have this thing, sleepovers are a big thing around my place. I've got four girls, they've all got a lot of friends, and they all like to sleep over, which is fine. But there was one time when all four of the kids were wanting to have sleepovers all the time with a bunch of different kids, and that became a little overwhelming, so we established this rule. We're like, okay, you have to give us a 24-hour, heads up, and then we can tell you, and then the decision will be made, and then... But, when it's like 4 hours ahead of time and you're staring at your kid and they're like, please, can they stay over? We're gonna do this and we're going to do that. And it sounds so much fun. And it applies to my first rule, which is to have fun with your kids. And I'm just like, I have no good reason to say no except the rule. Duh. And so what we found ourselves doing was reacting constantly to that request. Nothing wrong with it. But there were weekends when we didn't want to have a bunch of kids over at our house. We felt like the situation of what was happening in the weeks before leading up to that weekend, we wanted to lead our kids into a time of family gathering, into a time of a meal together, into a hike together, or a game night, or something like that. And so we could see it coming. And so we'd try to get ahead of them and be like, oh, by the way, and this is like on Tuesday. Oh, by the way, Friday night, we're having a family meal. And then we're going to go on a hike. And we're going to do all this stuff, right? So that's leading your kids into something. Get what I'm saying? All right, we'll leave it at that. I want to be aware of your time here. I'm so grateful that that you're sticking with me here on this. I will say this. Sometimes the rules are important. Because as a kid... towards my papa, I argue with him. Sometimes I don't actually want to obey. Sometimes the thing that I think he's leading me into, I'm not convinced that I trust him in that yet. And so sometimes he has to pull the rule card out and just say, just listen to me, kid. No, he's really firm with me in some instances, and he's like, son, I just really... don't want you to do that. And I don't always have to have the reasons. And I don't always have to be convinced or sold on something that appears to be better when I do my comparison shopping. So I understand that. The need for those parameters and that directness, I understand that. I'm just saying if that's not the attitude and the culture and the prevailing atmosphere that you want in your house, then anticipate some things and help lead some things in that guiding way as well, okay? It's kind of like the guardrails. His rod and his staff, they can be a comfort to us. My guess, though, is that he prefers to lead us with his voice, not the rules.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.